warm welcome again as he comes.
All right. Man, what singing. Good Lord have mercy. He don't owe us anything. But we owe him everything. Everything. All right. Grab your Bibles. John chapter number four. It's good to be back in God's house. Amen. This is a very, very familiar story in the Bible for most people that's been in church the least little bit of time. Everybody knows the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, right? Everybody knows that, and it's a cool story. Good feel good story. I love to read and study where God fixes messed up people. Aren't y'all? This woman had issues, man. I'm telling you, she had issues. She had all kinds of issues, but she ran into the one who could satisfy her longing soul. Amen. I heard a preacher preach one time and said that she came with a burden. She carried that water pot, that burden, and the Bible says she left her pot there. And he said, you know why she left her pot there? Because she walked off with the well. Amen? Listen, but that's not where I want to go with this. That's a great, great story. We'll talk about that just a little bit. But I want to kind of get the second half of that story, because I believe the majority of the people are here tonight. I know in a crowd this size, no doubt, the crowd this big, there's going to be somebody that doesn't know Christ. And you've already heard enough gospel in that song to get saved. Amen. I'm telling you. And Christ will save you today. But I want to try to focus on God's people. I want to focus on the church tonight. You are my people. You have always been my people. Even if we're from different states and from different places, we have a kindred spirit, because the same thing that's on the inside of you is on the inside of me. And it draws like a magnet. It just pulls us together. And so I want to encourage one another with the second half of this story. And I'm going to admit, it's going to be kind of convicting again. And I wish it wasn't quite that way. Tomorrow night, we're going to be able to preach and take it easy, all right? But tonight, it's going to be a little tight tonight, all right? But not bad. Not as bad as last night, but it's still going to kind of tighten us up a little bit, because we're going to look at the different characters in this story, and I want you to yourself, I want you to think, which one am I more like? Which one am I more like in this story? Am I more like this Samaritan woman? And I'm talking about after Jesus. I'm not talking about before Jesus. I'm talking about after Jesus. Am I more like the disciples? Or am I more like Christ? Which one of these sets of characters? You got three, the Samaritan woman, then you have the disciples, and then you have Christ in this story. Which one in my normal Christian walk, my everyday life, which one of these am I behaving most like? If that makes sense, say amen. Amen. Let's look at it. Let's jump to verse number 27. I'll come back and explain for those that are not familiar with the story. I'll catch you up to verse 27, but let's just read our text and we'll pray and jump right in this thing. Okay, verse 27, it says, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the reason they marveled is because they still had issues. They still had prejudice, and Samaritans and Jews, they didn't quite get along. And well, one, she's a woman, and any self-respecting rabbi wouldn't be talking to a woman out in public. That just wasn't done. You did not talk to a Samaritan woman, especially. Right. All right, they would. Going from Jerusalem to Galilee, you have to go, you have Judea, Samaria, and then Galilee. If you'll remember how we traveled back through there when we was in Israel, the Jews would actually come up through, go across the Jordan River on the east side, go up to go around it so they wouldn't contaminate themselves by going through Samaria. That's how much they hated each other. So they're kind of blown away that Jesus is even talking to this woman. But how many of y'all are glad Jesus just don't care? Jesus don't care who you are. Jesus don't care where you're from. Jesus doesn't care what the world thinks about you. Jesus loves you. Boy, I feel God right there. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get started. We'll never finish this thing. Amen. What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Who were the they? All the people she was telling about, right? And it says, in the meanwhile, while she was going to tell everybody in Sychar, the city there, about what she had found at the well, Jesus and the disciples were having a conversation. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore, saith the disciples, said one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. He that gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you. I sent you. We'll come back. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Now watch this. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the disciples. What does it say? I wonder why it didn't say the disciples. I'll tell you why. Because they didn't say anything. You see where we're going with this? Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. You say, preacher, what did she do? She told her story. She told her story. Now we need to do it. We need to do a survey real quickly. We need to do a survey before we pray. How many of y'all in here are saved, born again, without a shadow of a doubt? Raise your hand. All right. You can put your hands down now. All right, how many of you were there when it happened? I got to ask some of the rest of you, where was you? All right, let's try this again. Y'all are a little slow. All right, how many of you were saved? Without a shadow of a doubt, you are saved. Amen. Okay, now let's try this again. How many of you were there when it happened? You know what that makes you? An eyewitness. That means you have a story. Yeah. You know what she went and told? What happened to her. You know, she was there when it happened. She has a story. And because of her story, many believed on Christ. If you're here today and you're saved, you got a story. You got a story. Look at your neighbor and say, I got a story. That's right, you sure do. Look at your neighbor and say, no, don't say that, don't say that. Listen, this is going to be good tonight. How many of y'all believe God's got something for us tonight? Let's pray and ask him to give it to us. All right, you ready? Lord Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you for the sweet singing and the precious spirit that's in this place. Lord, thank you so much on my behalf. Thank you so much for the receptive people here. Lord, it's so hard going into places and you know they'd just soon be somewhere else. Lord, I don't sense any of that here. Lord, I sense people who are hungry and who are ready. Lord, please feed your children tonight. I pray that you'll give us what we stand in need of. Don't let me say anything I don't need to. Don't let me forget anything I need to say. Fill my heart, touch my mind, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to help your people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now let's put this thing together, all right? Let's use our imagination tonight, all right? And let's look at this whole story and look what happened here. First of all, over here we have this well where Jesus is sitting, and he is resting at the well because he was not only all God, but he was all man, right? And he got tired, he was weary with his journey, he's resting at the well. He sends his disciples into the city, Sychar. It is a Samaritan city. Now, they typically would not be going that route. Like I said earlier, they would normally go across the Jordan, go up and go around. But he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit was in Jesus. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He fellowship with the Spirit, talked to his Father in prayer all the time, and the Spirit led him to this well because the Spirit led this woman to the well too. Are y'all with me? And we know what happened. We know what happened. Jesus confronts her sin and says, go get thy husband. And he said, I don't have no husband. He said, you're right. You've had five and you're shacking up with the one you're with right now. We need to deal with that problem. And we know that her life changed. She met the one, watch this, she met the one she'd been waiting on. She had done heard about the Messiah. She heard about the one that was supposed to come. She heard about there would be somebody to come and answer all of her questions. Jesus said, that's me. I'm the one. The one you're talking about right there, that's me. And boy, she believed. And she tore out of there. It changed her whole agenda for that day. She left the pot there at the well. Everything changed about her desires. Everything changed about her agenda. She left what she was typically doing already and went to tell somebody about what happened to her. Y'all with me? Now, watch this. When she came to the well, the disciples were going to the city. Now that Jesus is through with her, she's going to the city. And guess what? The disciples are coming to the and they crisscross. Y'all with me? Now, they get to Jesus. Now, we know what she does. She goes to the city. And she's saying, hey, you got to come. You got to come meet this man. I'm telling you, he's done told me everything. This is the one. We've heard about him. They've been telling us about him. He's finally here. You got to come.
Amen.
While she's doing that, Jesus is not happy. He is not happy. They come to him and say, Lord, we got your sandwich. I'm good. I've got meat to eat that you know not of. They start questioning one another. Who brought him something to eat? Did somebody else bring? We went in this town, spent all this time getting. Who brought in something to eat? He said, you don't get it. My meat. When he's saying my meat here, he's not just saying what kind of sandwich he likes. My meat, meaning what sustains me, what fulfills me, what satisfies me. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have something that satisfies me. I have something that fulfills my soul that you don't even have a clue about. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Say not ye there 4 months and then cometh our. What's he doing? He's dealing with their procrastination now. He said, I sent you where somebody else has done the work. I'm helping. Watch this. I see in these disciples a picture of the modern church. The modern Christian or the Christian that's been saved a long time. You see, these disciples had been spending a lot of time with Jesus. This was the Bible college. These are the Bible college students in training, and they were in training under the greatest professor that's ever walked this planet. And he told them in the very beginning, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What's he been doing? He's been training them how to fish. He's been teaching them how to fish. He's been went and fishing in front of them and went and fished with them and sent them to fish. Y'all with me? And here they come to a city full of fishes. I'm talking about a stock pond. And they were biting. Are y'all with me? And watch this. How many people did they bring back to Jesus? I can't hear you. Not one single person. He said, well, how do you know they were biting? Because the woman brought them. Are y'all with me? Here's the deal. Here's the deal. The modern church, the modern Christian, the one that's been saved a long time, their problem was they were only focused on themselves. They were in here, they're trying to find the bread. We got to find the bread. Is there any meat? Is there any kind of beef around here? We can't get no pork. Do we have any fish here? Do we have any? Hey, what about spices? Can we get some spices? And they're passing people up right and left. All around them, people that are seeking somebody to give them the answer to their life, and the whole time the answer that they have been seeking for is sitting out there at the well. And they never saw the opportunities all around them because they were so focused on themselves. Now, how do we apply that? We go to the store. We go to the gas station. We go to Walmart. We go to the restaurant. We go to the ball field. I'm about to trip. Can I tie my shoe? That'd be all right, y'all. I'm spiritual, but I don't need to break nothing. Amen. We go to all these places, and we're so busy. We're not closing down the bars. We're not raping and pillaging the villages. We're not laying out drunk all night. But the devil has made us so busy. And we're only focused on our own agenda, our own needs, our own desires, our own wants, our own physical needs. All they could think about was food. And because they were only focused on themselves, they completely missed the opportunities. Opportunities were all around them. All around them. We're teaching our people every morning to pray Bob. Bob. Say that with me. That's not hard, is it? Come on, say it. Bob. B-O-B. Every morning, ask God to give you a burden. I made a post on social media. I don't hardly do that because I don't like getting in arguments with people. But I made this post. I said, we're never going to tell people how to miss hell until it bothers us enough that they're going. And how many of y'all have figured out that you cannot manufacture a burden? You can't. I've tried. I've tried to just have a burden for sinners. See, God's got to break our hearts. And when you get up in the morning, you say, God, give me a burden. Let me tell you why they didn't tell nobody in Samaria. They wasn't burdened about it. Some of it was because of their prejudice. Some of it was because of their religious tradition. Some of it was just they were just too busy. But they didn't have a burden. And see, we want people to pray for a burden. B, then we want opportunity. Say that with me. Opportunity. Opportunity. God, give me an opportunity. Give me an opportunity. And I promise you, you will start seeing opportunities all around you. Here's what I've been telling people. listen, in order to be a witness, in order to be to share your faith and do these things, you don't have to go jump on a stump on the corner and holler at everybody and scream turn or burn. That's not, you don't have to do that. Matter of fact, and I don't think I'm against this, I'm for it. I'm for, you know, going through a neighborhood and knocking on the door. We've done that and do that. I'm not against that either. But here's what I'm saying. Just do it wherever you go. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world, right? Make disciples. That's what it says, make disciples. Preach the gospel to every creature. It just basically means share the gospel with them, win them to Christ, and then disciple them, teach them, tell them what I've taught you, right? But the word go is not just y'all get out of here. It means as you are going. Say that with me. In other words, as you are going to the store, as you are going to the gas station, as you are going to the laundromat, as you are going to the ball field, just take Jesus with you. Just take Jesus with you. A couple months ago, my wife wanted a sandwich from Brandon Iron Steakhouse. It's not too far from our house, a little place. It's really cool because it's really cheap. Say amen. My place. I come through the drive-thru, and this pretty little girl opened the window, and a little high school senior there, and she handed me my food, and I said, sis, I know you're like crazy busy right now, because the car was wrapped around the building. I said, when you catch a break, would you mind reading my story? Man, God's been so good to me, and I love sharing. I wrote it out for you. Would you mind reading my story? And she took my story, and about a week and a half later, maybe 2 weeks, Tammy got hungry again. So we went back to Brandon Iron. I come around the drive-thru, and you just got to understand me, because I can't remember my name half the time. I got to have a name tag, amen? I couldn't remember when she came to the window, have I got this one or not? I went to a gas station a couple months before that and had witnessed to the lady and about 2 days later, I went back to the same gas station and here she was, but I didn't remember. I said, ma'am, do you get to go to church anywhere? She says, Reverend, haven't we crossed this bridge? She did. I'm like, yeah, I think we have. Have you made it to church yet? Amen. My memory's terrible. And so I'm thinking, okay, did I give her one? I can't remember whether I gave her one. As soon as the window came open, she said, I read your story. I said, you did? I said, do you have a story like that? She said, no. I said, would you like a story like that? She said, I sure would. She starts crying. I'm crying. It's raining, storming rain. I didn't have my hearing aids in. I couldn't hardly hear her. So I said, would you like to get saved right? She said, I sure would. So we're praying in there. I'm praying so loud that the neighbors could hear it. She gets saved. Incredible. Lo and behold, one of the guys in one of our Bible study groups, we had been praying for this girl, little girl whose dad was an atheist. And he had been telling her how stupid she was and there's nothing about the Bible, blah, 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 blah. I said, hey, pray for this girl. And we've been praying for months for this little girl. I didn't even know. She says, hey, I went to your church Sunday. I said, you did? I said, who'd you sit with? I didn't know if she had family or friends. She said, I sat with Norm. I said, wait a minute. The only one that's named Norm is crazy. You may not have crazy people, but I got crazy people. And Norm was in that Bible study. Norm was the one that kept praying for this young lady whose father was an atheist and he was just giving her a hard time. So I called Norm. I said, Norm, did a pretty little girl sit with you on this Sunday? She said, yeah, she sat with her grandmother is our friend. Her name's Tia Lynn. That's who we've been praying for. I said, you're lying. He said, no, I'm not. I'm telling you, that's who. I said, she just got saved in the drive-thru. He about wrecked his truck. Now watch this. I didn't go there to win somebody to Christ. I went there for a sandwich. But while I was there, as you are, y'all getting quiet now. If y'all starting to feel convicted, I can tell. As you are going, just take Jesus with you. This woman's going back to the city regardless. She just happened to what? Take Jesus with her. See how this works? This is great. Don't be like the disciples. They've been spending longer than 10 years. They said, what'd you do? We got one, what? She said, I was stuttering and stammering. And I said, you just learned that all the Holy Spirit needs is a willing vessel. Even if the vessel is nervous. When I was 17 years old, I surrendered to preach. 17. And I don't even know why God called me. I don't have no, to this day, I don't know why God called me. Because I am by nature a very, very shy person. Now, you don't see that up here because I'm in the anointing. When I'm not in the anointing, I'm hiding. All right? It's either anointing or hiding. Hiding or anointing, one or the other. I don't have no in between. When I would get on a bus, in school, I would walk down that bus and see an empty seat and sit there and hope to God nobody sat with me. I'm telling you, and I haven't grown out of much of that. I mean, it's still shy to this day. And I just knew God was calling me. I'm like, oh man. And I went to my dad and I said, Dad, I know God's calling me to preach. And he said, well, son, you got to make it public. I mean, you got to make a public profession of God's call on your life. And he said, you need to stand in front of the church. And the old time church, that's what they make you do. Stand in front of these folks. I'm there. Motivation to, I got to go tell somebody. I got to get my story written out. I've got to do this. And Lord, if there's somebody in here, this is the invitation.
May we keep it at the front of our thoughts tonight, tomorrow. God, pray for that burden and that opportunity.